Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today, again from the book of the prophet Daniel in the Old Testament. I'll be beginning with the passage of Scripture listed as being chapter 3. I expect to continue on through chapter 4. Afterwards, but we will see. So beginning with the passage listed as being chapter 3 in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, hath not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, returning to the beginning of this passage, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. But prior to that, let me go back up into the previous passage, the very end of the previous passage. And it states, "Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, 'Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. See, now couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, the numbering of these passages, these divisions of Scripture, are not to be trusted to be chronological. There are many instances where they are not. Instances in the book of Daniel, in the comparatively brief book of Daniel, instances in the much longer book of Jeremiah, and so forth. And you'll find it throughout the Bible that one passage does not necessarily follow the preceding. On the other hand, you will find passages which there is no obvious separation. It is, all of these are man-made divisions, decisions, as far as parceling up the books of the Bible. And you will find that it just flows directly into the next passage, and there should be no break. There should be no division. And then again, other times, you will find that a later passage actually, in terms of chronology, precedes previous passages. So one might think, well, this passage about Nebuchadnezzar having an image cast, crafted, created, and erected in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon, to be worshipped. That, well, maybe that came before the preceding passage. Because in that passage, as I just read, the king states that of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods. So even if, and clearly Nebuchadnezzar continued to worship these gods, false gods, he recognized Daniel's God and that of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah as being the utmost God, the highest God, God of gods, Lord of kings, the revealer of secrets. And then he goes on to promote Daniel, makes him a great man, gives him many great gifts, makes him ruler over the whole province, the entire capital province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. But Daniel defers, or if you prefer, demurs. He requests of the king that he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah over the affairs of the province of Babylon. He requests that, and Nebuchadnezzar grants that. He puts Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah over the whole province of Babylon. And they become chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Whereas Daniel just sits in the gate of the king to offer advice, counsel to the king if the king should request it. But with no official capacity, no official position. That is why Daniel does not come up in this next passage. if he had retained the position of chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon, he would have had to have been there too, commanded to worship this image. But again, Nebuchadnezzar had this image crafted, cast, created, and founded, erected in the plain of Dura after he acknowledged that God Almighty was the utmost God, even if he did not acknowledge him as being the one sole true God. He did acknowledge him as being the highest and mightiest God. And yet he goes on worshiping false gods, whom even he has admitted, he has stated, confessed, are inferior to the God of Daniel and also of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But continuing on. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. A vast number of provinces stretching from the Mediterranean Sea at least to the Indian Ocean. Captains here, this term captains, captain is a good rank in the military of the United States of America and Britain and what have you, in Europe. But here it is higher than that. It is more properly rendered than generals by today's terminology. That is why that rank is given, because it was the highest rank. Here in our military, we have one-star generals, two-star generals, on up to five-star generals. Captains varied in their amount of authority, power, prestige, position. But that was the highest military position. But the princes, normally we think of that referring to sons of the king. And I take that to be the case here, but perchance it also can refer to sons of others. For instance, we see that in the kingdom of Judah. Or rather, sons by different wives, and even princes who are not related. But here we have all of the high and mighty VIPs, all of the most influential, most powerful, most privileged people in this massive empire, this massive kingdom. And they are all called. They are all required to come. Oh, well, that's a fantastic privilege, isn't it? To be called to the highest and mightiest, richest, most splendiferous and wonderful celebrations and what have you. That's normally the context. But here, of that kind of thing, of all of the other royals being called together, this is a little bit different, isn't it? Exceedingly different. They are all called to come to the dedication of the image of this false god which Nebuchadnezzar the king has had set up. And then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the sheriffs, the treasurers, the counselors, all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together. A time-consuming process because of how vast this empire was. They're all gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image in the plain of Dura, which could accommodate, well, maybe not an infinite number of people, but a great many people. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded." That's interesting. So this is not a matter of, well, you get to go to the finest, richest party and blowout feast and what have you. Little bit different here. To you, highest and mightiest people in the kingdom, it is commanded. You are ordered to obey. It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. This empire was so vast. Unlike today, today's modern world, modern Western world, modern Western nations, free democratic nations, where there is a great mingling of races, but which really has been minor up to this point, despite great efforts to promote it. It just hasn't been that successful, strangely enough. And so what do we have? We have movers and shakers in media land, including family-friendly, traditional family fare, aggressively promoting mixed-race couples and mixed-race families, and their advertisers doing the same. And the most benevolent, beneficent of their advertisers very heavily doing so. Well, here, curiously enough, in this vast empire, not so. It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, all of you different, varied peoples who are represented by all of you VIPs. It is commanded of all of you that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Curious collection of instruments, isn't it? I mean, here, for the most part, these instruments are rather light-sounding kind of instruments. You know, you're not having the kettle drums, the bass drums, and so forth. Instead, and it doesn't even mention cymbals, as far as I can see. No mention of cymbals. So forget about percussion instruments. Not any there. What about bugles, trumpets? Well, the closest they have is a cornet. Flute. Harp. Right? Just amazing. But anyway, so not exactly dramatic, strong, commanding kind of music is going to be played, strangely enough. Instead, mild-mannered, melodic music, but with what a punch. That when you hear this music, You are commanded to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Fascinating. And stop and think about that. Here, you could be the highest and mightiest, the creme de la creme. You are the governors, the princes, sons of the king, and other princes. The generals, the captains, the judges, the sheriffs, the highest and mightiest law enforcement officers. And it doesn't matter. You will all be put to death if you refuse to worship this image to this false god. What a remarkable instance of rank and privilege not being beneficial. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, they all fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. They did this for what reason? Because they wanted to? Because they worshiped that false god? No. What was really involved here? Really, at the core, at the crux, was obeisance to the king. A form of worship of the king. But at that time, certain Chaldeans, you know, the wise men in the kingdom, the wise men who would have been slain if Daniel had not had them spared. Daniel appealed to Arioch, the captain of the guard. Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. These Chaldeans, along with the magicians, the soothsayers, the seers, were the wise men of Babylon. And yes, there was also Daniel and his three brethren, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And there also were many other young Hebrew men who were amongst the creme de la creme in Jerusalem who were brought to Babylon at the same time Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were. But here, these Chaldeans are amongst those who were spared from being put to death at Nebuchadnezzar's order, spared by none other than Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they are now calling for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to be put to death. No good deed going unpunished. So these certain special Chaldeans, they came near and they accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You know, sycophants. O king, you know, feign worship of the king. Feign love and adoration of the king. O king, live forever. Thou, O King, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" His gods, which he has formerly admitted, are significantly inferior to their God, Daniel's God, Hananiah's God, Mishael's God, Azariah's God, the Lord God Almighty. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, which I have had made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Really sounds like a converted man, doesn't it? It reminds me of the lying claims of various evangelists, televangelists, evangelists, ministers, denominational leaders, pastors, what have you, about these being saved and those being saved, about these Muslims being converted. I could tell you stories, but I won't. But, yes, Nebuchadnezzar, he has really had a conversion experience, hasn't he? And again, this is all about paying obeisance to him, obeying him, worshiping him. If you do not, I will have you murdered. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Such a worshipful man. Such a good and righteous leader. But you know, while it may not on the surface at first blush make you think of this or remind you of this, this whole situation, which is remarkably, remarkably similar to that in the book of Esther. But it really is in many respects so similar to today. There are so many people who will obey the powers that be, the wicked, perverse, depraved leaders and powers that be, the regimes that be. No, not just the communist regimes in communist China and communist North Korea and communist Laos and communist Vietnam and communist Burma, Myanmar. Not just the Islamist terror regimes around the world, no. Not just the other totalitarian regimes. But the free world, the free nations, the democratic nations that are controlled by socialist regimes. Oh, well, we don't have socialism here. No, not much we don't. Oh, well, that's just a branch of the Democrat Party. No, it's all of the Democrat Party. It's just that there are degrees, varying degrees of it in the party. But it's all of the same. But there are vast multitudes of people in this nation, the United States of America, in Canada, in Britain, on the continent, and so forth, who will capitulate, yield, and figuratively speaking, pay obeisance to the powers that be, and will not give the time of day to God Almighty. Have no use for the true God, for the true power. And yet they will yield and pay obeisance and bow down to the perverse, depraved, wicked, rebellious, anti-God, anti-Christ powers. If that is not apparent today, it is going to become increasingly apparent in the very, very near future because of what is coming to pass. But I digress. So, who is that God? What God is there that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Interesting. They didn't have to confer among themselves. They didn't have to discuss it. They didn't have to pray together about it. Despite the exceedingly high stakes, if you will. Despite the enormity of what was involved. They were able to respond instantly, individually, together. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. If it be so, if it be so, perhaps that is not unclear to you. It is unclear to me. But what is being referred to here is if God is pleased to do so. He is more than able to save us and will save us. But if for some reason God does not see fit to do so, if for some reason God sees greater benefit, greater result from allowing us to die, then we will. But regardless, we will obey God. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They're not saying if he's able to. They're saying he is able to. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, if it not be so, if it is not his will, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, thy false gods. nor worship the golden image, the inanimate object that you have had crafted, have had cast. We will not worship the golden image which thou hast had set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was so filled and consumed with hatred. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now, whether that means 7 times or whether that means 17 times is immaterial, really. It's one or the other, apparently. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, commanded the most mighty men that were in his army, in his entire army, the three mightiest men, were called upon to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, called by the Chaldaic names that were assigned to them. But these three mightiest soldiers were ordered to bind them and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were bound in their clothing. They were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and exceedingly urgent at that, and because the furnace was unbelievably hot, overheated, exceeding hot, the flame of the fire, the flames, plural, of the fire, slew those men. Now, why would that be? I mean, really, if it was an open pit or something like that, there wouldn't be some explosion of flames. But if it was an enclosed furnace that was heated to this breaking point, and then the door was opened while these soldiers are slid aside or whatever, while these soldiers are in the act then of heaving these three Hebrew brethren into the furnace, then the flames could literally reach out and touch them. Depending on how this furnace was set up, there is the question of what happened to those soldiers who were slain by the flames. You know, were they standing on a precipice over the furnace? In which case, you would think they would have fallen into the furnace. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that they wound up in the furnace. It also doesn't say they burned to death, though seemingly that would be the case. But in any case, the flames of fire reached out and touched them and touched all of the brethren at the same time as they were being cast in. So whatever it is, their actual death, sucking all of the oxygen out of them and perchance burning them to a crisp on the spot, should have happened to these three brethren, of course. And you would think that with these three mightiest of soldiers being slain that way, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not have been propelled forcefully into the furnace, but would have fallen where the soldiers fell if that was not into the furnace. I cannot say. However, what is true is that this furnace was exceedingly overheated. And as the three soldiers, the mightiest in all of his army, and this was back in the day when they wore armor that was heavy, when they carried spears that were heavy, iron-tipped spears and such, and javelins and shields that were heavy, and fought with swords that were heavy. They were exceedingly powerful, muscular, mighty men. The three mightiest in the entire army of exceedingly mighty men. But they were no match for the fire of the furnace. And these three young Hebrew men, who were not soldiers, not physically mighty men, they didn't have modern exercise machines available to them. They were thinkers. They were scholars. They were worshipers of God. And they were serving in a governmental capacity over all of the affairs of the capital province of Babylon. They were cast into the furnace. They fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. No, they had them cast by the hands of the three mightiest men in all of the army, all of whom died on the spot. And then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What is that about? Like the Son of God? Here he is worshiping all of these false gods. He has had this image cast of gold, crafted this enormous image, and has had it raised up in the plain of Dura and commanded it be worshipped at the pain of death for any that do not. And here he says, the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. The Son of what God? And what Son of what God? It's incredibly strange. In the previous passage, when he acknowledged that Daniel's God, the God of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when he acknowledged that he was a God of gods and a Lord of kings, there was no mention of a Son of God. This simply makes no sense, other than God Almighty himself, via his Holy Spirit, speaking prophetically through the worst of the pagan, heathen enemies of God, but whom nonetheless is identified as serving God, being a servant of God. In other places, he is identified that way. That God used him. He didn't serve God, but God used him. It's almost incomprehensible, unimaginable, inconceivable that God would prophesy through the unconverted Nebuchadnezzar, who's in the act of having the servants of God, the faithful, true servants of God, murdered. Torturously. And yet, I have no other explanation for that. Regardless of how many brilliant, learned, illustrious theologians, pastors, ministers, denominational leaders undoubtedly have more satisfactory answers to that. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Fascinating. Moments before, he had them cast into the superheated furnace to show them who was boss. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? This is no more than minutes later. How many minutes? I don't know. After all, they had to superheat the furnace, which was already plenty hot, to slay all that were cast into it. But they superheated it. They had the soldiers bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't have to go searching for the mightiest soldiers. These were not the highest ranking military men in the kingdom. They were just the physically mightiest. And they were on hand, however many he would need. 3, 10, 20, 50, 100, they were available to deal with any that would not worship him by worshiping his false god. This is minutes later, and yet instead of what he said to them previously, now he is just so penitent, you might say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. So how would they have done that? Were they able to just walk straight out? Did they have to climb out, you know, taking hold of the white hot surrounding edges of the furnace or what? I don't know. But they came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. I don't know how sensitive you are to the smell of smoke, but I have had many occasions in the past during the summer when I have been driving and have had a window or two open in the vehicle, and have been going at low speed through a town, through a city, and smoke from cigarette smoke, a single cigarette of a driver in another vehicle going by or that I am going by. I have smelled that sufficiently, not only to notice it, but to put up my windows and so forth. Out in the open air, mind you, not stopped at a traffic signal, not stopped at a stop sign, but literally my vehicle moving, their vehicle moving. Interestingly enough here, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have just come forth from this superheated furnace. And there is no smell of fire upon them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." How much time has passed? It is absolutely assuredly less than an hour since he cried out, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And now, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him." Not sent the Son of God, right? Not "blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his Son." After all, we had the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. But no, that is just a passing reference. Now, this God who is blessed, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel," not his son, his angel, "and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." He doesn't refer to the other gods as false gods. No. Again, it's just a matter of that their God is superior to the other God. "That they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Not that everybody else should worship that God, the true God, no. But that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. "Therefore, I make a decree." This is this king whom, of course, many brilliant theologians would say has been converted now. And again, it is that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. "Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." He doesn't even mention Daniel, does he? Even though all of these Hebrew brethren worship the same one true God. And he knows that. And they were with Daniel when Daniel delivered the interpretation, the dream and the interpretation to him. "But anyone that speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill." Really sounds like he's been converted, doesn't it? It is exactly the same language, exactly the same treatment, exactly the same condemnation that he gave to all of his wise men previously in this book of Daniel. "Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Again, he does not say that this God is the true God. that this God is the one true God. No, there are loads of other gods. They're just not as powerful. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Therefore, no one is to speak anything amiss against this God, lest I show them who's boss and have them cut in pieces and their houses made a dunghill. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is a very strange little verse of scripture. Why is that? Because they were already so high and mighty, it's unimaginable that there was anywhere to promote them to, anything to promote them to. You remember the end of the previous passage. The king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And then we had these Chaldeans, these certain Chaldeans, who described Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah as, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So how is it possible for God's servant, Nebuchadnezzar, to promote them further over the province of Babylon, over the affairs of the province of Babylon? You know, without Nebuchadnezzar just out and out abdicating, how is it possible? But the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, I am going to do what? I'm going to go ahead and close this message because it's more than an hour, and I know some people would prefer for messages not to be so long, but I'm going to follow it with a message for the next passage. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, Master Savior, thank you for the blessings thou bestowest upon us. Bless us, we may ever be grateful. Holy God, in Jesus' holy name, lead us, guide us, direct us into all truth. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Impart thy gift of faith to us, which can move mountains. Have thy way in us and through us by thy Spirit for thy glory. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might, even so. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We'll be right back.